The mission of Stoughton Hospital is to provide safe, quality health care with exceptional personalized service. We want to be your trusted resource for health information. It's time for Stoughton Hospital Health Talk. Here's Melanie Cole.
Atrial fibrillation is an irregular and often rapid heart rate that can commonly cause poor blood flow to the body. My guest today is Dr. Matthew Wolfe. He's an interventional cardiologist seeing patients at Stoughton Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wolfe. Tell us a little bit about atrial fibrillation. How would someone even know that they have it?
Well, first of all, atrial fibrillation is a very common rhythm disturbance in the heart. It's actually the most common rhythm disturbance in patients over the age of 75, and its frequency increases with age. Not surprisingly, it's becoming a greater and greater problem in the United States. We're projected to increase from about 3.5 million cases of atrial fibrillation a year this year to maybe as many as 8 to 12 million over the next 30 or 40 years as our population ages. What atrial fibrillation is an abnormal heart rhythm that arises in the upper chambers of the heart, the atria. These upper chambers are important to heart function, but not absolutely crucial, so it's not a cause of death, and it's very rarely a life-threatening problem. However, in atrial fibrillation, the electrical signals that coordinate the contraction of these chambers of the heart become rapid and disorganized, and the heartbeat becomes rapid and irregular. Patients usually feel some sort of irregularity of their heartbeat, and that's often accompanied by other symptoms like anxiety or shortness of breath, maybe weakness or difficulty exercising, sometimes chest pain, sweating, dizziness, or fainting. It can many times mimic symptoms of a heart attack, but it is usually, to some degree, pleasant. However, there are some patients who develop atrial fibrillation and have no symptoms whatsoever. Like I said, the function of these upper chambers is not crucial to overall heart muscle function, and some people have no symptoms at all.
What are some causes? Can stress, people get these anxiety attacks, as you mentioned, and they, get stressed out by a lot of things. Can that make your heart race, and would that be confused with atrial fibrillation? What are the causes?
Well, it might be confused with atrial fibrillation, but it's probably not a major cause. Atrial fibrillation is usually caused by things that are associated with some stiffening of the heart muscle, even without any real major problem with weakening of the heart muscle. The heart muscle can stiffen with just age, and that's why this rhythm disturbance becomes very, very common as people get older. Other things that can contribute to atrial fibrillation include cardiovascular conditions such as high blood pressure or diabetes, being overweight is a major risk factor. Having lung disease or sleep apnea, a very common problem in people who are overweight, and unfortunately, most of our country is overweight. Those are all risk factors. So in addition to the fact that we're getting older with these chronic diseases that predispose to atrial fibrillation.
How do you diagnose it? It's like taking some, your car in. If someone comes to see you and they're not having an AFib event, how do you know that they have it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there with your question. So the easiest way to diagnose it is to come into a doctor's office or a medical clinic or an emergency room when you are feeling poorly so we can obtain an electrocardiogram. That's a $25 test that will make a definitive diagnosis right then and there, and then we know what's going on. If you're having intermittent episodes of what you might suspect is atrial fibrillation, then we do have devices called Holter monitors or event recorders. These are little electronic devices nowadays. They're not much bigger than an old-fashioned cell phone. They usually have three wires that are taped to the chest, and they just record every heartbeat you have over the period of time that you're wearing the device. And so if it's a type of problem that's just coming on intermittently and we're not able to catch it by having you come into a doctor's office, a monitoring device such as this can detect it very easily.
So then what if you determine that somebody has atrial fibrillation? What is the first line of defense, the first treatment that you provide or try with that patient?
Well, you know, everything in medicine is really focused on just two things, making people feel better and making people live longer. And so in atrial fibrillation, often the key to feeling better is simply controlling the heart rate, which is not only irregular, but often rapid. Fortunately, controlling the heart rate in most patients is very easily done with relatively simple and straightforward medications that have been used very commonly for many years and are usually well-tolerated without much in the way of side effects. These types of drugs include drugs like beta blockers, a very commonly used drug to treat high blood pressure, and a very old-fashioned drug called digoxin, and another class of drugs called calcium channel blockers. The names of the drugs aren't important. I think the message is that controlling the rapid heart rate is a very easy thing to do, and often that alone is sufficient to make people feel better who have atrial fibrillation. The bigger issue in atrial fibrillation has to do with long-term survival, because atrial fibrillation is one of the more common causes of stroke. About 20% of all stroke in the U.S. is caused by atrial fibrillation. And in atrial fibrillation, because the upper chambers of the heart are not beating effectively, blood clots can form there. And if blood clots form and break off and one has bad luck and it goes to the brain, it can cause a stroke. So many patients in atrial fibrillation, not all, but many, have an increased risk of stroke and need to be on blood thinners. Now, if you have atrial fibrillation or suspect you might have atrial fibrillation, you can talk to your doctor about this problem, and your individual risk of stroke can be easily determined based on your age and other risk factors and whether or not you're someone who should be on a blood thinner. That can be easily identified in the doctor's office, and you can discuss the pros and cons of that approach with your physician. But many patients in atrial fibrillation will require a blood thinner to prevent stroke. Fortunately, there's only a smaller group of patients in atrial fibrillation where once you've done those two things, you've controlled the heart rate with simple drugs that are well tolerated, and you've addressed the risk of stroke by prescribing a blood thinner or not, depending on person's individual risk, there's only a small subset of patients who, despite those efforts, still feel poorly when they're in atrial fibrillation. And those patients may require more specialized care. And this is the type of care that's usually prescribed by a cardiologist. This includes more complicated drugs that can help control heart rhythm. And there are procedures now that can be entertained that, at least in some cases, can eliminate atrial fibrillation. These are procedures where the abnormal heart rhythms are mapped out in the heart with special pacemaker wires, and tiny little burns are administered to just very tiny specific areas of heart muscle that that are crucial in triggering these abnormal heart rhythms. That procedure, called an ablation procedure, at least in carefully selected patients, can eliminate atrial fibrillation as a concern. However, it's the minority of patients that really require an invasive procedure to handle this problem.
If someone has ablation, and we only have just a minute or two left, Dr. Wolf, how long does that last? Is that a permanent situation, and when does it require a pacemaker?
Well, pacemakers and ablations are two completely different things, and pacemakers are not typically part of the treatment of atrial fibrillation. A pacemaker would only be required if the heart rate is too slow, and remember I said the heart rate is usually too fast in atrial fibrillation. Again, there is a small subset of patients, usually very older patients, where in addition to the atrial fibrillation, they have other problems with the wiring system of the heart where a pacemaker might be required. If an ablation to treat atrial fibrillation is successful, that's usually a permanent fix, although there is some recurrence. Sometimes people need two procedures, and sometimes the procedure is not successful. Again, that's a treatment that's usually reserved for patients who failed medical therapy and who are still having problems. And fortunately, that ends up being just a minority of patients in atrial fibrillation. But we're always anxious to talk to patients about exactly what their issues are with atrial fibrillation, whether they have it or not, what their best treatment options might be. And we can always make more tailored recommendations to a specific person once we know their situation in life and how they're doing.
Dr. Wolf, in just the last minute, why should patients come to Stoughton Hospital for their cardiac care?
Well, Stoughton Hospital is an excellent hospital that's provided outstanding and very user-friendly service for many, many years in South Central Wisconsin, and it's staffed by outstanding physicians, nurses, and allied medical health professionals representing a variety of specialties, and atrial fibrillation is one of the more common medical problems, as we discussed, in the United States, and one that the physicians at Stoughton Hospital are quite capable to treat and quite anxious to work with people in treating.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Stoughton Hospital Health Talk. For more information, you can go to stoughtonhospital.com. That's stoughtonhospital.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.